Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of our relationships, the gift of our sexuality. Lord, I thank you for the gift of our sons, and what a blessing it is to see them growing in maturity, growing in stature. And yet, Lord, a lot of the changes that they're facing right now and a lot of the changes in the culture are making this a very difficult transition for them as well as for us. So I pray that you'll bless this hour, that your Holy Spirit would be here to teach us, to encourage us, or to convict us as needed. And bless this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I have a couple of volunteers to pass things out? Now, if you volunteer, then you can come up afterwards, and I'll give you a coupon to get a free CD at our booth. So I need two volunteers. Oh, there's one. Need one more. Mom right here.
Okay.
One of you take the newsletter cards, and one of you take the flyers, and he just passes out. Thank you.
Okay, so this session is called Shining Armor, Your Son's Battle for Purity, because when we first started speaking about raising boys, we had one slide. We spent about 3 minutes in our big presentation.
In that session we did this morning.
Right. Just a couple of minutes, we talked about issues of purity. And how do you teach purity to your sons? And we had more feedback from that 1 3-minute snip than anything else we said. We had weird conversations with mom
heard what you said this morning about how we need to talk about these things early with our boys.
Yeah.
But you see, we're homeschoolers.
Sure, of course. It's a homeschool conference, yes.
And we're very careful about what our children are exposed to.
I'm careful
about the books they watch and the movies.
And
I don't want to destroy his innocence.
No, of course not. I agree. Those are all good things to do. So tell me, how old is your son, ma'am?
I'm thinking she's going to say 8, 7. Mm. She says 13. And one woman told me 17. And, you know, y'all, I'm a sweet Southern lady. I try to hit people where they are. But I wanted to say, honey, at 17, your son is so full of testosterone that he would be having struggles with his thought life on a desert island all by himself.
Yeah, that's reality. And so after the first year...
If there are any extra seats, if y'all could move in, because there's still people coming in, we're pretty crowded. Okay.
So after the first year out on the road and having this conversation over and over and over and over again, I finally looked at Melanie at the turnover of the year, and I said, you know what, I hate to say this, but I think we're going to have a separate session to talk about this particular subject. And we had to apologize to our kids. Kids, you know, we really did not set out to be the parents who stand in front of room fulls of strangers and talk about sex. That's really not what we wanted to do.
No, it's not.
But I think God wants us to do this.
It's
so
really not what our teenagers want to, because you think you're embarrassed?
Yeah, so if it's awkward for you...
You want to be us.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah.
So anyway, we've got to decide whether we want our sons to be warriors or victims, because the battle is coming to them.
There's a war going on, and there's no bystanders. Okay?
It can't be avoided anymore. You don't have to be a bad kid. When I was a kid, to get involved in this trashy stuff, you had to sneak around in your crazy uncle's closet, or you had to go shoplift or something.
Yeah, I mean, there was ways to. I mean, there was ways and means, right? Okay, we've all been teenagers, right, guys? Yeah, we know. But the fact of the matter is, the game has changed, and our sons are getting tempted, and they're getting attacked in ways that a lot of us didn't. And so we need to be aware of that. And we need to talk about the reality of this. But now let me say this. We're going to share some statistics here. And if there are any young persons in the room, I don't mean just young at heart, but I mean actually young in age, I'll give you a pass. But recognize this. You're going to hear some statistics that sound overwhelming, like really and truly everybody is doing it. And the answer is, so what? God calls us to walk a straight and a narrow path, not to follow the world to destruction. So don't let the Satan tempt you by the overwhelming numbers that we're about to share. Okay? So we say there's a war going on. That's why we talk about this in terms of armor and warriors and victims. Study that was done at the University of New Hampshire of their incoming freshman class a few years ago found out that by the time boys are leaving home at 18, 93% have been exposed to pornography on the internet.
Significantly exposed. The average first exposure is 12. Actually, that's dropping every year. Mm-hmm. 10 to 12 is probably the average now. And that means half see it before then. Mm-hmm. Okay, and, you know, now at this point, homeschoolers start patting themselves on the back, you know, but we're homeschoolers. We're more careful than that. But you know what? We have spoken to homeschoolers across the country, and we're not seeing any difference in the statistics.
Well, I mean, when you look at a number like 93%, there's not a lot of shade to hide in there, okay?
No.
And so just recognize this is what we're finding. This has been confirmed by other studies.
Now, I'm not going to read this next part aloud for the sake of the young people in here. You can read it. But these three statistics are not by the time they leave 18. This is all 12 to 18 year olds.
This is before
are
they're
that number.
This is before they're leaving home. Okay,
this is teenagers.
And so we got to recognize what's going on here. Furthermore, here's some statistics. This is the Centers for Disease Control, so you know this is going to be good news. Okay, by the age of 17, they said that nearly half of boys have had some sort of sexual encounter. Again, that's before they're leaving home, folks.
Now, once they leave home, the number rises to 76%. Guys, this is not what I want for my boys.
No.
We want something different. We want them to be warriors for Christ. 36% are promiscuous.
Now, the way the battlefield has changed is really significant. Understand something. Once upon a time, back in the 1600s, 1700s, it was common for church choirs to have boys singing those high soprano notes, okay? And so the time of J.S. Bach, you can look at the records for the choirs that he directed at his church. They knew that those boys could sing those high notes until they were sometimes 16 or 17 years old, because puberty started a lot later back in the 17th century. Nowadays, those same boys' choirs are having to recruit from the elementary schools because they said if we don't teach those boys to sing when they're 9 years old, at 11 their voices break and they're no good as sopranos anymore.
And they're really struggling because the music needs some emotional, you know, experience to be able to sing it properly, and they've got little kids singing it. Now, when you look at another statistic, it becomes more significant. You're wondering, what difference does this make to us? A generation ago, and I've looked back 200 years in our census data, and it was the same for the past 200 years, the average age of first marriage for men was 22 or 23. Mm-hmm. The average age of first marriage for women was 19 or 20. Now, one generation later, in men it's 29 approaching 30. In women it's 27 approaching 28. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. We won't go into that now. But, okay, so the harsh part of the battle used to be from 17 or 18 to 23. Now it's from 11 to close to 30.
So
instead of five years, it's now like two decades.
That's right. And you know what? Here's another part of the situation. We see it all around us that a lot of guys are giving up. They're not even going to fight any longer. Over 60% of Americans have lived with a member of the opposite sex before they got married or instead of getting married. Okay? Now if you are, well, it's kind of like one of our sons went off to college at a nominally Christian school. And he said one day he was sitting in the cafeteria and he had 12 friends sitting around him at the table. And as he went around the table, he realized he was the only one at that whole group who had two biological parents who were still married at home. Okay? The culture has changed. And we need to recognize that our sons are growing up in an entirely different social milieu than even we did.
So let's go back to the foundation. What did God intend? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you look at Genesis chapter 1, you see that God created mankind as male and female. Okay. We have a sexual nature that God designed right from the very beginning. And you see that God instituted marriage there in the Garden of Eden. You know, in chapter 2, when he looks at Adam and says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I'll create a helper corresponding to him." And he brings the two together, and there's that classic introduction, "Madam, I'm Adam." Oh, okay, great. And they, you know what? That's the very first marriage, and God instituted it there. And you know what? The very first commandment that was recorded for mankind in Scripture is at the bottom of chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1. It says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Guess what? Sexuality was God's idea. And it was there in the Garden of Eden before there was sin, and God put his stamp of approval at the end when he said, and it was very good.
Now, you know, we don't apologize for looking back to Genesis and taking it literally, especially when it comes to marriage and the family, because Jesus did it. When people asked him about divorce, he went back to creation and talked about creation. Paul talked about the first Adam as a historical figure. It's good enough for Paul and Jesus, it's good enough for us.
Yeah, we can stand on that.
But, you know, we have an enemy, and he tries to subvert and destroy and turn upside down everything God creates.
Okay, so let's look at a couple of things related to this. All right, first off, very obviously, we've separated the whole idea of sex and love.
You know, homeschoolers have this huge debate between courtship and dating and all this, and everybody has their own definitions, they don't even match. Well, when our kids went away to college, they called home and they said, like, Mom, you know, homeschools are worried about courtship versus dating, and what does it mean, and when do you talk to the dad and all this? Dating would be a vast improvement on my campus. I said, what? No, they're not dating. In fact, they show up at parties, they meet each other at parties, the lazy slobs of guys don't even take these girls out to dinner. But they go back to the room, they hook up, they commit fornication, and then it's done. There's no relationship, no romance at all.
Okay? And so we also see that the idea of commitment before sexuality is something that's been subverted as well. And you see that in the increasing cohabitation statistics.
You know, the idea that bearing children is a primary purpose of marriage. God said, why have I given the two to each other? That they might bear me godly seed. And yet, I hear Christians defending not having children all the time.
You know, part of the design of this, it's supposed to create the union between a man and his wife, and you see that the way the culture's promoting it, it's all about your personal self-gratification. It doesn't even require another person.
Now, we're from North Carolina, and if you've been following our bathroom debate in North Carolina, I probably don't even have to say anything about this, but we don't even know what men and women are anymore. And I'm a biologist, and this really hurts my feelings. I'm like, hello, you have a Y chromosome that makes you a guy. A man. Stay in your own bathroom.
Now, I saw a picture somewhere online, and I thought, this is what we need to do. We just need to be real clear about it. There's one restroom that's labeled XX and one that's labeled XY. And all of you science geeks got that joke, so I'll leave it to that.
You know, God's view is that sexual sin really is very important. You know, people kind of make a big deal about us Southerners, that we're kind of hung up on these things, and it's all just a natural process. But that comes from the Word of God, like 1 Corinthians 6.
You know, 1 Corinthians, you got to realize when Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, he might as well be writing to 21st century America. Because just like 21st century America, the church, the city of Corinth was a very prosperous, very commercial, like crossroads in that part of the world. And it was full of sexuality and all sorts of deviance, everything and every kind of variation available in the street for hire, for fun, for religious purposes, whatever. And so Paul is saying, you are called into a radical sort of purity. As Christians, you're called to a radically different lifestyle than the world around you. And so he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. The list goes on. But I think out of the first five things that Paul mentions, four of them are sexual in nature. And Paul's saying, do you realize these are not alternative lifestyles? These are pathways to perdition. This is keeping you separate from the kingdom of God.
Then later in the same chapter, it says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Did you know that scientific research has recently proven that this is literally true? When you look at internet porn particularly, because you can have a bunch of windows open on your browser, and you can watch more than is humanly possible, even in ancient Rome, at one time, your body produces this huge surge of the hormone dopamine. Dopamine's the reward hormone. It's what bonds you together as a couple. And so your body produces all this, and it's more than your brain can handle. And so the receptors start shutting down. It's like walking into a bright room.
What happens if you walk out into the sunlight and you look up at the sun for a moment? Your pupils contract, right? They're to protect the visual receptors in the back of your eyeballs. Well, the same thing's happening to those dopamine receptors. And guess what? Now, if you want to get the same kind of rush, you have to have more stimulation or more intense or more strange, exotic type of stuff, you know? And so, you know, this, it's not only addictive, but it leads in a downward spiral into worse and worse types of perversions.
It does, and in fact, brain scans have shown that it's the same dopamine cycle that you see in heroin addiction and alcoholism. And in fact, men who try to quit it often have the shakes, they can't sleep, they have depression. And what a lot of men are finding out, in fact, there's an epidemic of young men in their 20s and 30s who have been addicted to porn for years. Now they find the woman of their dream. They get married. They think, my fight's over. This is going to be great. And they found out that they're unable to respond to their bride because they're impotent. Because their body is so used to this excess stimulation, it can't respond to normal stimulation. Now the good news is you can recover from it, but it takes several months of complete abstinence. Happy honeymoon.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that's the bad news. Now, why do we unload all this? It's because, you know what, all those moms that came up to us and blessed their hearts, they said, can't we just talk about this the week before the wedding?
No,
you can't, and I'm so sorry, but we've got to face the reality of the world that our sons are growing up in and recognize some things, too, that make their experience of this temptation and this culture quite different than the experience of our daughters.
It really is different. You know, by age 18, at least 93% of boys have significantly viewed pornography. We're not talking about a flash on the screen. Mm-hmm. But only 62% of girls, and two-thirds of those said it was never on purpose.
And the people doing the study asked, well, now, tell me, you who watch this stuff, why did you do that? I mean, what was your motivation? And The boys admitted, kind of frankly, said, well, you know, it was kind of exciting in its own way. 70% of the boys said that, but only 17%, less than 20% of the girls, thought this was exciting at
That's
all.
That's a huge difference.
Huge difference.
And 53% of the boys were curious, but only 20% of the girls. Moms, this is a very different temptation for our boys than it is for us. And we've got to recognize that. We've got to accept it. We've got to realize that the internet that we see is different from the internet they see. Once Google figures out you're a woman, all your sidebar ads have shoes and purses. But in your guy's sidebar ads, it has bait. And it has bait to draw them into this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that you sold life insurance with girls in bikinis? I mean, I bet every guy in the room has seen that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to recognize that. Now, if you're going to war, you got to make sure that the defenses are in place back at the home base. And the way you do that is you start early. There was a Confederate cavalry commander who was asked at one point, what was your secret for success on the battlefield? He says, well, I always got there firstest with the mostest. Okay, very simple, very homespun, but what he really meant was, I choose the battlefield, and I put all of my forces in the most advantageous array so that when the enemy stumbles into my trap, I have the initiative, not running and responding to the enemy's initiative instead.
You need to have the same attitude toward this with your children. People ask us frequently, when do we need to have the talk? You need to have a bunch of talks through the course of their childhood, and it starts when they're in the bathtub, mm-hmm. and they're touching themselves, and you say, hey, hang on. I know that feels good, but see, that's a sensation that God gave you for marriage, and you need to save it for then, so hands off, buddy.
Now, here is a very, very, very important piece of advice we're going to give you. Take this away. If you remember nothing else, remember this. If your child, if your son asks you a question that's sexual in nature, don't freak out, okay?
This is
really important.
It really is, because if you freak out, next time they'll just wait till you're in the bathroom, and they'll grab your phone and ask Mr. Google. And Mr. Google will helpfully give them images to answer their question. You don't want that. So you've got to be the go-to person. Now, what does that look like? A lady told me that she was big pregnant. She's putting her boys down to go to bed. And one of them asked, Mama, what kind of machine is the doctor going to use to get that baby out of your body? She said, he's not going to use a machine. He said, well, then how's that baby coming out? She said, I'm going to push the baby out. He said, where are you going to push that baby out? And she said, God gave me a secret passageway that I'm going to push that baby out. He said, can I see it?
Now that is a perfectly reasonable question. Absolutely reasonable.
To her credit, she did not run screaming from the room. Mm-hmm. She said, I just told you it was secret. That's between me and your daddy and the doctor if we need his help. He said, okay. Rolled over and went to sleep. She handled it beautifully, and that's what you need to do is you answer their questions. Sometimes you answer the questions you know they're asking, but they're not asking. Mm-hmm. And you don't freak out.
And see, and that's really important, especially with the youngest guys. They have no idea what they're asking. The whole world is full of wonders. And it's, oh, I heard this word today on the playground. What does this word mean? You know, we had somebody, okay, a mom said, I've got a problem. My son, age 4 or something like that, he said, I can't get my son to get his hands out of his pants. He's always scratching himself or something. It's really, really embarrassing in public. What do I do? And she's about to lose it. And I said, what would you do if he always had his finger up his nose? Okay? It's no different to him. He's just saying, oh, I've got an itch. I'm going to scratch. You just say, hey, son, get your hands out of your pants. You don't do that in public. Okay? You just deal with it as a small child's misbehavior. It's not some Freudian mess that you've inherited. But you got to recognize you do have to address these kind of things. And you need to answer the question they are actually asking.
Like that little boy who came in from playing.
The little boy's playing with the next door neighbor's kid, and he comes in. He's like 6 years old or something. And he comes in and says, Mama, where did I come from? And Mama starts to sweat. She said, oh, no, this is the teachable moment. Yeah, this is the teachable moment. I've got to have the dog. Oh, my. So she sits down with him, and she says, well, you know, if a mommy and a daddy love each other very much, and she starts this age-appropriate, you know, explanation of how babies come about, and she gets to the finish line, and she looks at her little boy, and she says, well, okay, do you understand that, honey? And he looks at her kind of quizzically and says, well, I think so, but Bobby next door said that he was from Chattanooga, and I don't remember where I'm from, and I was wondering if you could tell me. Okay, she gave him a great answer, but it was not the question he was asking. So, you know, just simply ask, why do you want to know? Or what brings this up? Or just something to get a little more context for yourself.
It's critically important that you teach the entire context that God created this in. You know, when they're training bank tellers, they don't, to identify counterfeit money, they don't give them counterfeit money. They give them lots and lots of practice with real money. And then when the counterfeit shows up, they immediately recognize it. Have you ever seen a counterfeit bill? We got one out of an ATM one time. I glanced down at it, and something was wrong. Something wasn't quite right. I immediately knew it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way. We want to so fill our children with the idea that sex is a good thing that's created for marriage. And it's right in the middle. It's not sex education. It's, as our friend Greg Harris says, mm-hmm. marriage education.
And
it's
so,
one
yeah.
part of that right. love, commitment, right. marriage, childbearing, nursing, family life.
Now, it's appropriate sometimes. Sometimes you got to balance out, how do I be really factual versus how do I be, let's say, symbolic and use some euphemisms?
Well, you know, I remember one time talking to one of our guys, and it's like, son, let me explain why this is so important. You see, imagine you wanted this really awesome model kit for Christmas, and we knew we couldn't afford it. But you come in a few days before Christmas, and you see a box the right size under the tree. And you go and you say, I'm just going to shake it and see. Mm-hmm. And you shake it and it sounds right. And you're just wondering, is it real? Did they get the right one? A flap is open. So you slide the paper off and you're so excited. You open up and start putting parts together because it's just so exciting. But every time you hear something, you jump because you know you're not supposed to be doing that. And pieces are rolling off under the counters. And pretty soon you hear me coming for real and you slam it back together, put it under the tree. But, you know, you're going to be pretty... You're not going to be able to do it back like it was. And so how are you going to feel on Christmas morning?
Embarrassed, ashamed.
Yeah, and see, I don't want you to feel that way. Now, yeah. You know, the wonderful thing about it is Jesus died for our sins, and you can be forgiven. But there are consequences to this kind of sin, and I don't want you to experience them. Mm-hmm. And so I explain it in a way a boy can understand a Christmas gift, that this is something important. But, you know... So I wanted to mention, how does it look like doing this in the context of marriage? We were at outside a YMCA for a homeschool PE meeting. And we were out in the car. This was years ago when my boys were little. Four of them are grown up now. And one of them said, Mama, why is that lady walking across the parking lot in her underwear? Now, she was wearing what passes for workout clothes. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you're right, son. She's showing parts of her body that really are meant to be a gift for her husband alone. Wonder how he feels about that. I'll bet he's angry. And I thought, well, he ought to be, you know. But you want them to have this idea that this is a precious gift for marriage.
Right. Now, you do need to teach them a lot about safety because the world is full of predators and they are worse and worse. You know, you can see that the rise of internet pornography and the rise of the consumption of child pornography has been paralleled by a rise in actual child abuse, child molestation. And so you got to take that.
It's not always adults. You know, I know two different situations in the region we live in where young men, teenage homeschool boys, got addicted to porn. Their parents were very naive. They didn't know. And then they started acting out. And so one of them spent 30 days in the county jail. He's not going to be able to see his younger siblings till they are adults. And so, you know, it was tragic for the victims. It's tragic for him, too. And the parents didn't do what they ought to do. So how can you protect them? There's several things you need to teach them. First of all, you teach them no one is allowed to see, take pictures of, or touch you in the places covered by your underwear.
Now, see, that's a good, solid, hard boundary that every boy understands. They understand underwear. They don't understand personal hygiene. They don't understand changing it frequently, but they understand where it goes, okay?
Okay.
And so that takes all the fuzziness out of it. You could say that area is off limits to the world.
Swimsuits for girls, mm-hmm. okay? You also want to teach them that if anybody says, do not tell your parents, that is a warning sign, a big red flag waving saying, go tell your parents. Mm-hmm. And if someone threatens your parents or your dog or your younger sibling, and they say, I'm going to kill them if you tell anybody about this, immediately go to your parents because we're strong and we're able to protect you and we're able to protect your siblings. And we will take care of you and take care of this. Now, it's a shame you have to tell them those things. It's a shame you have to tell them about the picture thing. One lady who had followed us for many years called me hysterical one day. She said, Melanie, tell me what to do. I put a photo sharing app on my iPad so that I could do our photo books at the end of the year. And I found out that my 15-year-old had been addicted to porn for several years. We had no idea. You kept telling us to get some protection on our internet, but we couldn't decide which one was the best one. he'd been addicted to porn for years, and he had started taking inappropriate pictures of his siblings and sending them to his friends.
And in a lot of states, the laws make no distinction between the guy who's generating child pornography as a career and teenagers sending sex to each other.
It was a felony.
Yep.
It was a felony. It rocked their family. So you've got to protect your kids. You need to ask them often, you know, is there anything you just wish you could tell me, but maybe you don't have the nerve? That's a great thing to ask them. Talk to them. Tell them, you know, I'm here for you. You can tell me absolutely anything.
Now, you need to teach your young man how to fight temptation, okay? And it's really important that you recognize if your son comes to you and he's having a struggle in this area, sometimes we can feel very embarrassed ourselves. Sometimes we feel like it's a reflection on our parenting somehow. And we might actually start to take it out on our son, who's only asking for help. Okay, so recognize your son is not your enemy. He is your fellow soldier in this battle that we can't avoid, and he's struggling right now.
So we want to teach them practical ways to fight temptation. Now, what we do in our family is we do what we call the five-point defense.
Right. And so we tell our guys, okay, so let's say you're in some situation and you feel yourself being tempted in this area. What can you do about it? Well, you know, biblically speaking, you can leave or change the situation. The righteous man sees trouble coming and he hides himself.
So if you're in the shower, you turn off the water, dry off, and get out. Mm-hmm. If you're in your room by yourself, you get up and you go in a room with other people.
Okay.
Flee the situation. One other part of fleeing the situation is it helps to have a code word. So that if they're at somebody else's house and the situation goes south, they have a way to notify you they need rescuing without embarrassing themselves. For our family, it was coffee and mama, because I don't drink coffee ever and I don't make coffee. That's their thing. And so if they ever called and said something like, oh, mom, I was worried that you might have left the coffee pot on. I would say, you know, I didn't, but I suddenly realized we need you at home. I'll be by to pick you up in a few minutes.
You know, another thing you can do if your kids have a phone with this capability is you can use what's called the X code. You can just say, if you're ever in a situation and you need a backup, you need an extraction, just send the letter X to my phone, and I'll come get you. I'll call you right back, and I'll come get you. No questions asked. We'll talk about it later, okay?
Yeah.
And so anything like that, it gives them a way to get out. Now, that's the first thing. Leave the situation or change the situation some way. Number two, you can pray. Don't you think our heavenly commander rejoices to hear the call for reinforcements and help? Yes, pray to God to help you fight the temptation.
Sometimes singing to God can help because it engages a part of our mind. It engages our soul. And so we encourage our guys, if you're struggling with your thought life, you can't get out of the situation, sing. Sing praises to God. That'll help you.
You know what? The Bible says, ask, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Okay? So read the scriptures. Memorize scriptures. Quote scriptures back to yourself. You know, this is a good thing to do in this fight.
And go to your authority for help. Mm. Now, for you, when they come to you for help, you've got to handle this right. Do not interrogate them and make them tell you all the nasty details. You don't need that. They don't need that. One adult who was homeschooled told me, she said, one time I went to my parents and I said, I'm struggling with my thought life. And she said, they so interrogated me. They made me feel horrible. They told me I would become a prostitute if I didn't stop thinking about those things. She said, it scarred me. And I never told them another secret the rest of my life.
You do not want this in your relationship, okay?
And so you want to instead come alongside them. Oh, come on, come over here, son. You know, I've struggled with this too. Let me pray with you. Is there anything I can help you? Is there a book in our house we need to get rid of? You know, is there some temptation I can help you and get you out of that situation? And so make sure they know that you're on their side in the battle.
All right, so we tell them that there's five things then, this five-point defense. You can leave or change a situation. You can pray. You can sing to God. You can read the scriptures or go to your authorities for help. And those five things, you can roll them up and make a fist to knock away the temptation.
If some of y'all want to come sit up here, it won't distract us. Feel free to sit on the floor up here. Okay?
Yeah, there's nice, comfortable carpet up here.
All right.
Sorry.
You also need to train them to identify and fight this enemy.
Okay, now there's a couple of temptations we get. There's the temptations that are based on fear. Oh, I can't speak up for Jesus here in the workplace because they'll think I'm weird. I might get counseling or something like that. I'm afraid of what people will react. But then the other type of temptation is the bait, the one that says, oh, this is okay, this will be fun, nobody will ever know, you can go a little way, you can stop at any time, that kind of temptation, that's what this is. And so we're tempted to give in a little bit, right? And so you need to train your son to recognize the temptation is real, it just looks like it's sugar-coated. And so, for example, if you say, my word, that woman came out of the bathhouse here at the beach, and she was so immodest, that bathing suit is just absolutely indecent. I mean, it is indecent all the way down the beach. I mean, it didn't get better the further it went along. And you know what? When she got in her car, if you stood up a little bit, you could see it was still indecent. I mean, that was terrible, wasn't it? That was not fighting temptation, folks. Okay? That was indulging it. And we
and
need
so
to recognize
we need to
it.
Teach our boys, it's their responsibility to guard their minds and heart. You know, women, we want to love our brothers in Christ. We want to dress decently and modestly. But ultimately, it's our guy's responsibility to look away if they're tempted.
Okay. Now, if you're going out to battle, you got to recognize that ambushes are laid. And so we want to teach them how to identify and avoid them.
You know, secrecy is the enemy of your son's souls. And mm-hmm. the old advice was keep your computer in the central area of the home. And I had a mom tell me, I handed her a covenant eyes watch. She said, I don't need that. We don't have but one computer, and it's in the kitchen. And she's, meanwhile, scrolling through her iPhone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember going to visit a friend of mine, and her 18-year-old toddled across, 18-month-old, toddled across the floor, picked up her dad's iPhone, and put in his code. You know what? If you have smartphones in your house, those are internet access. Did you know that one mom laid across our table sobbing? She said, my 15-year-old has just confessed that he's been addicted to internet porn for 3 years. And I thought he didn't have any internet access. I said, how'd he get it? She said, through his PlayStation. He had been accessing Twitch TV where he could see it all live. And so we need to be aware that, you know what, the internet promises privacy, but there is no privacy.
That's right. Now, we got to figure out how we're going to control the internet threat. And this is not as easy as it once was. You know, I think back about 100 years ago, there was probably a father who sat down at the kitchen table one night and said, children, I have heard your pleas and I have prayed. And frankly, there's just no way we're going to put a telephone in this house. It's only going to encourage idle gossip. You know what? Dad was right. It would encourage idle gossip and a waste of time and all the other kind of things he would have predicted. But you know what? It was so ubiquitous and it was so much a part of the network of the community that by the time those kids left high school, if you weren't on the phone, you like didn't exist anymore. And so what? You know what? Once upon a time, people said, well, I get enough of email at work and I don't want it in my house, so we won't have an internet connection. Well, you know what? We found out that those of our friends who took that kind of route, they sort of like drifted away, dissolved, disappeared from our homeschooling groups because they never heard about meetings. They never heard about field trips. Nobody ever remembered to, oh, and you have to get on the phone to call them because they don't have email anymore. So really, it is a very useful, almost a necessity type of thing.
Now, you can control access, but a lot of the blocking and filtering software has a lot of holes in it. And besides, it's frustrating, you know, I was trained as a lactation consultant, and I don't practice, but I do help a lot of moms in our area. And we had a filter for a while, but every time I type in BREAST to look up a breastfeeding problem, you know, the computer shuts down, you're trying to access it. A filter that you have to keep shutting down is useless.
Right.
Because sooner or later, you're going to leave it down.
Now, you may need to exercise hardware control. This is what we call this. When we have these conversations like, okay, children, you know, this is our anniversary. I am going out for a special dinner with your lovely mother, the woman I married, and we're just going out, just your mom and I and the cable modem, and we will see you in a few hours. Go read a book. Okay.
But now, you've got to make sure that your neighbors don't have unsecured wireless. And you've got to make sure that you didn't leave any smartphones at home because those access the internet a different way. In fact, what we found really helpful is to remove the privacy through accountability software. Mm-hmm. You know, we have accountability software on every internet-capable device in our home because we need to make sure what's going on. And we need to be able to change the, you know, our little kids, they may only need access to one or two sites. Mm-hmm. But our teenagers, they need accountability. They don't need me to hide things. They need to learn to say no, and they need me to know when they fail to say no.
That's because in a few short years, they're going to enter a world without filters. Anytime they leave our homes, they are going into a world that does not have blocks in place, okay? And so they need to recognize where the bait is and say, I'm not walking into that trap. Because I've learned at home that if I click on that link today, I'm going to have a really bad morning come Thursday.
He's going to have a bad month. Okay. But, you know, another thing we do in our home is we make sure that we have shared passwords. I have a password vault. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody in our family establishes a new internet account, it might be social media, it might be, you know, when they're buying a computer on Best Buy or whatever, they have to report to me their login and their password. Because, for one thing, it's just really convenient. We've had kids traveling overseas, and they text us and say, Mom, could you transfer $200 into my account or something? It's convenient to have everybody's passwords. But also, it's a protection, because even though I may not check those very often, they know they can be checked. And so there's some accountability. There's something to restrain them there.
Now, you know, the best commanders in military history led by example, okay? Dads, this is where we've got to step up to the plate. We have to establish our own accountability. When we put this kind of software on our systems, we put ourselves on the first account. And then when you go to your 16-year-old and say, hey, I'm going to put this on your laptop, and he says, what for? Then you say, hey, because we're all in a battle, we all need accountability, and you think you get more privacy than Dad? Think again. Okay? It really helps, actually. And honestly, you know, that's one of the reasons for that we are married, that God gives us marriage to help us channel those desires and things into the proper God-honoring paths. And so I need to be transparent with my wife and say, hey, dear, I know you probably don't even notice this, but the weather's gotten warm, and you know that family up there with the four teenage daughters that are so cute? You notice they're all wearing, like, open-top dresses, you know, that they're wearing sundresses and things now, and I can't worship anymore. I need to move to the other side of the church.
And that kind of honesty, that kind of transparency with each other helps us to fight temptation together. Mm. And, you know, let me tell you something, guys. Your sons know when you're looking. Because your wife knows. Moms come up all the time. They say, you know, I really want to raise my son this way, but his dad's got wandering eyes, and you know, all our boys know it. And so, you know, take the first step by being the example. Look away.
Now, moms, you've got a role in this too. And part of that is recognizing that your sons are different, not worse. They are just made differently, and they need your help and your respect.
And this is so important. It's really easy for moms to think, not my little boy. Meanwhile, her little boy is watching stuff online that would curl her hair. And so we've got to be realistic about their sexuality so that we can protect them, so that we can help them fight this stuff. And we've got to not be ragging on men all the time. You know, men are one of the few groups in our society that you can joke about, you can make fun of, you can mock, and nobody gets upset. But you know what? It's bad for our boys, because you know what? They have an enemy who would love for them to be uncomfortable as men. And we don't want that. And so do that. And we also have to avoid sin ourselves. Now, you know what? Women are not as tempted by the visual. 60% of evangelical men confess to being addicted to internet porn. 30% of evangelical women.
Oh, only 30. Oh, okay.
But a lot of the ones who aren't listed in there are addicted to porn of a different kind. They're addicted to story porn. And they read the trashy novels. They watch trashy movies like the 50 Shades of Grey stuff. You know what? If we're going to call our sons to be warriors in this battle, we've got to avoid this sin ourselves so we're not hypocrites.
Okay. Now, we've talked up to this point, we've been talking mainly about pornography because that really seems to be where the battle's the hottest. But you know what? We've had these kind of fights going on for a long time before there was an internet. So let's talk about some other lines of attack. You know what? You need to practice modesty in your home. Now, that sounds a little strange, but understand, God gave us six boys first. We had six boys that, you know, one after another, and frankly, our dress code was a little bit along the level of the fraternity house, okay?
Without the alcohol.
Yeah, we didn't have any alcohol, that's true, but I mean, frankly, it was pretty lax because we're all guys here. Mom's seen everything already, and the dog doesn't care, so that takes care of all the female anything in the house. But then God gave us these two little girls. Oh, it's awesome. We got daughters now. Whoops. Dress code revision. Okay, guys, you know, we had to change the rules a little bit. You had to take, hey, look, you can't just come wandering down the stairs in your underwear like you used to. There's girls in the house, okay? And so that modesty is something that we really do need to be aware of at home.
We also need to be aware of the temptations our boys may face in the ordinary duties of life. We do not allow our boys to babysit outside our home. For one thing, it may be a temptation to them, especially if they've been exposed to porn. Another thing is you don't know what's going on in that home, and your son might be falsely accused because it's a different world than it was. Now, we do allow them to babysit their siblings because there's a bond of love and affection there. However, we do not allow boys to change diapers and things like that unless it's an emergency. Now, if we just left for 2 hours and the baby has a blowout, clearly it's got to be changed, but you do it quickly in the room with folks. Because we don't want to give them temptation that may cause a tragedy in our home.
You know, parents of girls have got to be realistic about this too, you know, that, it's a changing world. And sometimes the girls are not really aware of it.
Well, sometimes our minds don't change. Like, I remember being at band one day, and this super conservative dad, good friend of ours in our homeschool group, his daughter jumps out and runs inside him. Y'all, her pants look like they've been sprayed on. And I turned to him because he's a good friend, and I said, "Brother, what is the deal with her britches?" And he said, he looks at her, and his face softened. And he clearly saw a 5-year-old. He said, "Oh, I reckon she's grown out of them. She's grown up so fast."
Well, I guarantee you that his 13-year-old daughter didn't look like a 5-year-old in those shorts. And I tell you what, the 13-year-old boys knew what they saw.
Honestly. And so we've got to be aware of how our girls look. And we've got to be aware of teaching our girls, you know, what's appropriate and to value themselves.
And you know, I think we do need to say a word to the moms, too, because it's very possible that mom's looking at her daughter and she's thinking, well, she's only 12. Say, "I'm sorry, puberty comes early. Your 12-year-old looks like a 17-year-old from a few years ago. You need to train her in some of these self-preserving rules of modesty."
Not that she is at fault.
Not at all.
If someone sins. Not at all.
No.
But she needs to do it to glorify the God who made her.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, temptations from friends. This is a huge problem now because, you know, your kid may not have a cell phone and you think, "We're good, we're safe." And then he sits next to somebody in Sunday school. This happened to a kid whose parents talked to us. And the kid in Sunday school pulls out his smartphone and says, "Hey, look at this." Or at homeschool group or behind the church during fellowship time. You know, it happens in the best of places with the best of families. Your children need to know what to do when, not if, when someone shows them something like that. And they also need to know how to handle dares. Boys are so susceptible to dares.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, because, you know, we men want to be thought of as strong, courageous, successful. We can deal with things. You can't scare me. And if you tell me I'm a fraidy cat, then I'm going to do something really stupid in response.
And so we need to tell them, "Look, son, it's the coward who does what he knows is wrong because he's afraid of what his friends will say. The courageous man does what's right no matter what people say." And drill that into them.
You know, advertisements can be some of the shortest format softcore pornography ever. You know, you can see some things on advertisements that really should not be broadcast, should not be published, but they are. And you've got to teach your son, "Hey, keep your finger on the remote. Change channels for 60 seconds. It's not, you're not going to miss anything.
Shrink your window down so you can't see the sidebars." Teach him that. And social networking, listen, if you have kids over about the age of 10, if you're not involved in social media, you need to be. Because we have had more than one family tell us in our local area, "Well, you know, we've decided as a family not to do Facebook." And funny, their kids have been my friends for 2 years. And so you really don't know what's happening unless you're there. Okay? So make sure you are where the kids hang out, because even if your kid's not there, you'll learn a lot about their friends.
Okay, let's talk about some arrows in your quiver. This is a mid-flight summary here, okay? First off, communication. You need to communicate frankly, freely, be open, be as honest as you possibly can. And you really, remember, you really do want your child to ask you not to go looking for help from Mr. Google.
You need to talk to them in context. This discussion should be in the context of marriage and family life as God created it. Help them to know this is a good thing.
Your car is an important thing. And because of this, don't you remember when you were in school and you had an away game on Friday night and you're coming back with the band or whatever and you're riding in the back of the school bus in the dark? You could talk about anything because nobody could see you blush. Okay? Same thing works in a car. You can fabricate errands. Hey, I'm going to go get some milk. I just happened to go to the Walmart on the other side of the county, but that's okay because we needed the time together to talk about embarrassing subjects. And
it's
this is
great.
A good thing.
Works great. And conversation, you need to teach your guys that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, one of our sons had graduated from college, and he said, you know what? He said, I'm really hoping the Lord will bring me a wife soon. And our family, all believers, jumped down his throat. They said, oh, no, have fun. Go to graduate school. Do all this. No, folks, prepare your sons to be men. Intentionally prepare them to stand alone, to support a family, to see getting married is a good thing.
Right.
Now we're going to talk about something nobody wants to talk about, but it needs to be talked about for just a few minutes
right.
before we go.
What do you do when you find something hidden in your son's bedroom or you find something in your browser history that shouldn't be there, or you get a call from another mom in the support group that says, we need to talk?
Is that when we can freak out?
Almost. Not quite.
Okay.
You don't
want
to
freak out. Not out loud anyway.
No. Okay. You do need to hold on to this. And this is the first thing you need to remember is God already knows. You don't say, oh, I got to hide this quick before God sees. Oh, that would be terrible. No, he already knows about it.
He knows, and he brought it to light for the sake of your child's soul. And you should be thankful that he brought it to light before it got any worse.
Yeah. Recognize we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, and our kids inherit this from us, and we can show them some mercy even as we start to deal with the situation.
And we talk to so many hundreds of people during the course of the year, and they're all like, I thought we were the only ones. I've been afraid to talk to anybody about it because they're so ashamed. But you know what? The good news is still the good news. Christ's blood covers it. This is why our Savior died. And yeah, there's that verse
in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. After all of these dire warnings from the Apostle Paul, and he's saying all of these lifestyles that are just around you in Corinth, these are people who are shutting themselves out of the kingdom of God. And he says, and such were some of you, but... A but in Scripture is very important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is another good one. Because Paul says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the blood of Christ Jesus. Okay? This is not the end of the story. Christ will end the story for you, but you got to turn to him.
And this may be what it takes for your son to realize he's a sinner and to really come to Christ. And so be sure that your reaction is gospel-centered. Now, you're going to need to confront the sin in love. Now, let me tell you something about this, okay? Expect that kid who's never told you a lie in his life to lie like a dog, okay? Because sexuality is private. We know that in our hearts by nature. And we have a tendency to cover our sin, and the answer is he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. It must have been my brother.
Or maybe... Gee, I was just looking up the sports scores, and I fell asleep, and I guess my head hit the keyboard, and wow, look what came up. Gee, it's just like Aaron in the Golden Calf or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so expect deceit, but do not accept deceit.
No.
And so what do? You say, okay, son, you know what? I'm sorry. I know you want me to just take your word for it here, but see, this is a really dangerous sin. It's a sin that can lead to things that can wreck your life, and I'm really worried about you. And so, you know what? I'd like for you to go to your room and think about this. No toys, no books. You can take your Bible if you want to. But just spend some time talking to the Lord about this, and we'll talk about it in a little while. Like 2 or 3 hours, leave them there to stew. Because generally, what they'll do, they'll come out and they'll say, you were right. I don't know what. And you can help them through it. Now, how do you help them?
Okay, let's talk about some reality stuff. You need to give them some, explain the consequences in the legal world. You know what? If you go off in a legal situation, mom and dad can't stop that. You're dealing on the grown-up level now.
Like, there was a father, he was a Christian. He started watching porn. It got worse and worse. Pretty soon he was watching the illegal stuff. And then he repented, and he confessed to his wife. He confessed to his pastor. He erased it from his computer, got accountability software. But several months down the road, the FBI knocked on his door and said, you know, we've traced some stuff to your IP address. They had a warrant for his computer. And the only way to get this stuff actually off your hard drive is to turn your hard drive into little bitty pieces. So the FBI was able to reconstruct it, and the man went to prison. And so our sons need to know that they are fooling around with stuff that can send them to prison. Okay?
They need to understand that lust is never satisfied. God gives us desires and he gives us a means to accomplish and to consummate those desires in a way that's pleasing to him. But if we chase the feelings without doing it according to God's rules, it just goes downhill from there. It snowballs.
They need to know it can cost them their job or it can cost their daddy his job.
We had a dad come up to us at one session and he said, let me tell you a story. He said, I almost lost my job over this. I have never looked at pornography in my life. But let me tell you what happened. I had a business trip overseas. I didn't want the extra luggage, so I left my laptop at home. When I got back after 3 weeks overseas, I was called into my manager's office. He's sitting there with the head of the IT department and the head of HR. This is not going to be good. And they had a file in front of us and they said, all right, we have proof that you have been using the company's resources to access internet online. These are your papers for dismissal. Do you have anything to say for yourself before we escort you out? He said, well, I didn't do it. I said, no, we've got the proof right here. We can show you the times and dates. And he's looking at the list. He says, this is not me. Well, why do you say that? He said, I was overseas. I was in meetings in Germany this whole time. My laptop was here in the United States.
It was his 10-year-old son. And thankfully, he was overseas because he would have lost his job if he'd been back here.
Yep. And they need to understand that their misbehavior can infect and affect the entire family.
They need to know, too, that it hurts their future wife. The research that's coming out is very frightening because what they're finding out is that young men have an idea of what women desire sexually that is totally different from what they actually do. Because of the porn and the shock value trying to get guys interested and to give them a larger dopamine response, pain and humiliation and things like that are a part of it. And women aren't interested in that stuff. And it's causing major problems in young marriages. We talk to a lot of these people. It also can make it harder or impossible to win that wife. You know, we told our boys, look, you know what? You see that father with the four beautiful daughters? One day you might want to win one of them as a wife. And so you've got to think what it's going to feel like to sit in his living room and what you're going to say if he says, son, have you ever accessed internet porn? How long has it been? And so we need to tell our kids there's real consequences. But most importantly, we have to tell them that this is fornication and adultery against God. It's breaking the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus said, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And that's what porn is all about. And our boys need to know it's a sin against God.
Okay. So,
next, you intervene.
You intervene. And you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution is there to protect the citizen from the government. It is not there to protect your child from your parenting. Okay?
So
go ahead, search, seize, self-incriminate, do everything you need to. When the Holy Spirit tells you this child is holding out on you, you go ahead and proceed on that basis.
So put internet accountability everywhere. In fact, don't wait for this. Do it now. Do it tonight. Okay. Take away their internet access, including their smartphones. Give them a dumb phone. And keep them with you. This is really seriously a physical addiction that they're going to have a hard time breaking. And so imagine that they were an alcoholic in a liquor store because the internet is that easy to find. You're going to need to keep them with you. We call this intense discipleship. Mm-hmm. Son, I need to go to the bathroom. You stand outside the door. I'm going to nurse the baby down for a nap. You come read in the room with me. I mean, he needs to be with an adult at all times for probably a couple of months. Now, that sounds outrageous, but it's a physical addiction that needs to be broken.
And they need accountability. You need to ask those intrusive questions. Do it with some mercy. Do it with some respect. But you need to ask, son, how's your thought life? How's the battle going today? Is there anything we can pray about?
Yeah, don't be nasty about any of this. Instead, say, son, you know what? I know this is hard, baby. And I don't want you to be enslaved to this the rest of your life, so I'm going to help you out of it. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a little embarrassing, but I'm going to help you, okay?
Now, recognize this. Satan can never take your son's salvation away from him. If he's saved, he's saved. But Satan can sure make him ineffective in God's army. And so, you know, what happens is Satan puts that bait out there and he says, come on, you can look at this. It's a Photoshop. It's not even a real person. And nobody will ever know. It's private. And you can go down this path a little bit. And so when he takes that bait, then Satan rears back and sets the hook. And then the story changes because now the narrative is, oh, you slimeball, you are such a dirtbag. You'll never hold your head up in polite society now. Wow, if they ever found out about this in a support group, I bet you're going to go to your grave as a sad old bachelor because nobody will ever let their daughter date you, you worm. Okay, he's going to be very discouraged. He's going to be very beat down. But our job is to say, you know what? Christ's blood defeats this. It's time for you to get up out of the mud, get back up on that horse, put the lance in the rest, and go forward. Because you know what? Every one of us has got dents in our shield.
Now, here's some good resources that will help you. Don't just hand these to your boys. Read them first. Forgotten Factors by Roy Hessian, Fidelity by Doug Wilson, Sexual Detox by Tim Challies. The Covenant Eyes blog has a lot to help. You know, the real prize is that we want our guys to be their knight, to find their bride and to be her knight in shining armor. You know what? Delayed marriage, it's a challenge. And lots of times the parents are the problem. We talk to parents all the time who don't want to let their kids get driver's license because they're scared. Honey, we're all scared. Get them anyway. You know, teach him to be a man. Let him get a job. Let him learn how to support a family. Prepare him to be an adult. Teach him to find a wife. Now, always talk about this in biblical perspective. I'm sorry, I went too fast.
Yep.
And help your boys to see that finding a wife is a good thing and that one day they're going to be someone's knight in shining armor. That armor will have seen battle. It's going to have dents and it's going to be banged up, but we're going to help them knock those dents out and polish it up and be someone's knight in shining armor.
Okay. Now, people have asked us, do you have a resource you can recommend? Do you have a book that I can give our son?
And we really didn't have one we could recommend because all the ones that we gave our older boys were written before smartphones. So they didn't address the battle our boys are in right now. So we've written one, and it is actually going to be officially released next month. But we brought pre-publication copies, and you can get it down at our booth. This is for your teens, even 20-somethings. It's for them to read. It talks about healthy biblical sexuality, how Satan attacks that, how to resist temptation, what to do if you've fallen in some way, and how to have healthy guy-girl relationships. I think it'll be a big help to you.
Okay. We've given out some flyers, and we have some more of them. Covenant Eyes is the software that we've used for many years in our home. We like it because you can put filtering levels down for the youngest ones that still need internet access, but you can turn those filter sensitivity back and just to go to a pure accountability model for your teenagers so they get used to making the right choices and discerning where the traps are lying.
And it's so easy for me because everybody gets their own login. There's none of this. It must have been my brother. Mm-hmm. And they send me reports, and it says, such and such report looks good. I don't even have to open it. Such and such report needs review. Might be a problem, might not. Such and such report needs urgent close review. Somebody's going to have a bad month. And so it's easy to use. This is the one we've used for over 10 years. And if you go through our link, they support our ministry with 20% of your membership fees because they love us and they're good people. Okay? But whether you go with this one or go with another one, it doesn't matter. Get something today. Okay? Because every letter we get starts with, I know you've been telling us to get protection on the internet, and we hadn't gotten around to it, and now, and some horrific story that gives me nightmares at night. Okay? So please, get help.
Okay, now, if you want to come by our booth, yes, you want to come by our booth, because you want to take these address cards and drop them off so you can get a free audiobook, which we have down there. But our booth is in the 700 aisle at the back. If you go,
now, people told us they couldn't find it. Let me tell you how to find it easy.
How do you find it?
Okay, you know the great big lamplighter booth? It's an end cap. We're behind them. We're the ones with a red boat bristling with weapons and a brick wall like this.
Yeah, it's the only weaponized boat in the hall. Okay?
Yeah.
You'll know it
and
when you see it.
If you've enjoyed hearing us talk, you're going to love our book, Raising Real Men. It's available in hard copy and audiobook, or you can get both together so mom and dad can both be happy. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're on all social media /Raising Real Men. You can get this workshop and a lot of others like it at our booth, too.
And we have one more workshop this afternoon, actually at 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about parenting preteens, okay? Let me tell you what, we were not prepared. Nobody warned us what we were about to experience. And
if you've got one that's on that emotional roller coaster and inviting you to join them, don't get on that ride. Come to this workshop. That's a vomit coaster, folks.
Yeah, this one will help you out. This is all the stuff we wish somebody had told us and they didn't, but we're going to share it with you.
Now, I'm going to ask you, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, this is what we do full time. And I'll be frank, it doesn't pay well. But you can help support this ministry even with $1 a month. Some people give $100 a month. There's some cool insider benefits. You can go to patreon.com/HalandMelanie to help us keep this ministry going. And we're so grateful for you. Go out there and fight this battle for and with your sons. Thank you.
Thank you.